Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Sport King India Limited Q4 and FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Darshi Jain. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Sport King India Limited Q4 and FY26 earnings conference call. Today on the call, we have Mr. Munish Awasthi, the Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Sandeep Sachdeva, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Lavlesh Verma, the Company Secretary. I hope you have gone through our press release and the investor deck. A short disclaimer before we start this call. This call will contain some forward-looking statements which may be based upon our belief, opinion, and expectations of the company as of today. These statements are not a guarantee of future performance and will involve unforeseen risks and uncertainties. With that, I would now like to hand over the conference call to Mr. Munish Awasthi, the Chairman and Managing Director, for his remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you had an opportunity to go through our press release and investor deck. We are pleased to share that the company delivered a resilient performance despite a challenging environment. Our revenue broadly remained stable while profitability improved. This growth was supported by better yarn realization and better demand for cotton yarn during the quarter. Now, let me take you through what happened since our last con call. There were many things happened. First of all, the improved demand in almost all the geographies across the world and in all the segments that we make. There was the resurgence of China as a large importer of cotton yarn. The share increased from 7 to 8% to almost 25 to 30%, and they keep on buying. Renewed Bangladesh optimism after the elections in Bangladesh. Local demand, though lagging for first few months, is now leading the charge. Since March, when the U.S. tariffs went away. The rupee depreciation is helping to make Indian spinning more competitive. Indian cotton has finally regained its competitiveness after a rally in international prices and softening rupee. Consolidation, which we have been talking since our last 2 years, which happened in last 3-4 years across the world, has now unlocked the real potential of spinning sector, and we expect to see this accelerating going forward. Though there are some headwinds as well, the macro climate is still of huge uncertainties because of multiple wars going on. Inflation forecasts are of higher inflation, which generally doesn't bode well for growth. Duty on cotton, though right now not that relevant, continues to be a deterrent. Looking ahead, we continue to see a robust demand after a long time from all the segments. Cotton spreads have reached almost 3-year highs and are expanding. We are expecting to expand our margins for next 2-3 quarters with these increasing spreads and a good cotton coverage. Now I would like you to give you an update on our various CapEx programs. The 40 megawatt solar power supply will commence by the end of May and is expected to save around 14 to 15 crores next year, annually. We are also making strong progress on our greenfield expansion project of approximately 1,000 crores, which will enhance our spindle capacity by around 150,000 spindles. The land acquisition has been completed, advances for machinery have been released, and the construction activities are progressing as scheduled. This expansion will significantly strengthen our production capabilities, improve operational efficiency, and position us to effectively cater to the growing demand. We expect the commercial operations of the project to commence in the third quarter of the current financial year. As part of our strategic growth plans, the board has approved the acquisition of a majority stake in Marvel Dyes and Processes Private Limited, which will strengthen our processing capabilities and enhance our integrated operations. The board has also approved the acquisition of the manufacturing facilities of Subhagya Sales Private Limited on a slump sale basis in land and building on lease basis, subject to definitive agreements and customary approvals. Looking ahead, we are confident of improved overall performance, and with EU and UK FTAs in the horizon, we will provide further stimulus next year when the new facilities come up. Now, we can go ahead with the question and Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Bhavika Jain from Niveshaay Investments. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So first question on the new CapEx which we are coming up in Q3. I want to understand that how we can expect the ramp up of that capacity, because looking at the current scenario, there has been a very huge demand coming from the China and even globally for the yarn. So how are we looking at this industry demand, and what are planned to cater it and to be a part of this demand tailwind? And the second question I have on the spread side, as you say that we expect that the spread will continue for 2 to 3 quarters. So I want to know the particular reason behind this spreads increasing, and how confident we are that it's going to be sustainable going forward in 2 to 3 quarters. If you can give clarity on that.
Okay. So first of all, I'll go with the last question. So we are pretty confident about the spread, because generally we have a exporting, we have a book for 90 days for our sales. So we are already, through this quarter, almost half of the quarter. And so this quarter, our book is already there, and the next half of a quarter is also sold. So, and looking at the current demand scenario, we foresee that this demand is going to be there going forward. And with the cotton, we have already covered for these 3 to 6 months. So that's why we are so confident about the spreads to be there, and maybe go a little higher from the last quarter. And your first question was about the new capacity, right?
Yes.
So what did you want to know about the new capacity?
I just want to understand that, are we planning to ramp up quickly looking at the current demand scenario, or what's our view, how we are thinking of the upcoming facility?
Okay, so we are actually doing the best we can. So being a greenfield project, I think we are exceeding our own internal expectations, and we are, of course, looking at the current scenario. We are also trying our best to get it as soon as possible. But, it takes a little time, the construction and everything. So the timeline which we have given is the one we are sticking to right now.
Okay, and just to follow up on the spread side, I want to understand that, you can correct me, the current demand scenario which we are seeing is majorly due to the China, China is buying from India. So want to understand that, are we exporting to China, or because as per my understanding, we export mainly to Bangladesh. So if you can give clarity, what's the scenario on ground, and how we are seeing and taking part of it?
So India makes almost 400,000 tons, million kgs of yarn every month. So China imports just 30-35 million out of that. So it's not that, it is only China which has caused this demand resurgence or spread resurgence. The only thing is they came and they pick up the incremental capacities. And for us, China is not that big. So our share in China, so as a country, the India's share is around, I think, since last 4-5 months, around, you can say, about 23-24%. But at Sport King, yes, of course, we have also increased our exports to China from almost 2-3% to maybe, 10-12% in last 1 quarter.
And on Bangladesh side?
Bangladesh continues to be our major the major place where we export, and it is as it was, so a little bit of share has been taken up by China, but the demand is still there. It's just because of lack of goods that lack of production that we cannot give, that we have to rearrange our priorities a little. But still, Bangladesh continues to be our number one market in export.
Got it. Okay, that's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ahmed Mada from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Same question from the previous participant. Just want to understand that piece a little bit better. Your remarks on seeing China being a small portion of overall India's production, that's fair. But if I look at historical data of India's exports to China, it has been fairly volatile, right? I think the numbers pre-COVID were probably much higher, and then 22 it was much lower, 23 it was higher, and last couple of years it was lower, and last few months we have been seeing the trend. So what factors would you ascribe for this volatility in general, I'm asking, and what are the factors to watch out for that may sustain this incremental demand from China? That was my first question.
Yeah. Good question. So as far as, of course, you're right when you talk about China being a volatile partner. So that's why, our share is always, we are very circumspect in increasing our share to such a market. But what we are seeing, different with China this time around is we see, for last 4-5 years that Chinese domestic demand was faltering, and we see, a resurgence in their domestic demand, which is helping in increasing the demand for all kinds of yarns, and not only cotton yarn, but all kinds of yarn. And I think some thaw with the U.S., politically also is getting some share of business back to China, and another thing is China, I think cotton, raw cotton, I think they have peaked in their production, so now they need to import cotton, and so for cotton they have a very high duty, that is 40% or some quotas, and so as an arbitrage they generally they buy cotton yarn. So, yeah, you're right. You can never be sure of Chinese demand because it's not, always there. But we see, the things have changed. Things are changing in China. For the last 4-5 years, it was grappling with its own economy, domestic economy, which I think has turned a corner. So that's what giving us a confidence that this time, they will be there all the time.
Sure, that helps. And on the spreads part, you made comments that you have visibility of order book for a couple of quarters and you have inventory for maybe a couple of months. But say beyond Q2, and I'm trying to just crystal ball here, just trying to improve my understanding. Beyond 2 quarters, when say India's new crop comes and if it's slower and then cotton prices, your procurement cost goes up, in that case, how would you ascribe your margins? What range one can consider?
OK, Okay, so see, right now you forget the cotton coverage because that is, you know, every company has its own policy, and we are not talking about the inventory losses or profits. But if you look at today's cotton prices, even then the spreads are you know amongst the best which we have had in the last 3 years. And going forward, see, generally in spinning, April to September quarters are generally weak quarters. So, and because there are many, you know, tailwinds in from October till March, your overall productivity goes up because of less heat. You know, there is a festive seasons coming up. Then spring season orders from the Western world. And the new harvest comes in, which, you know, where the cotton prices go down. So we don't, we expect, you know, we expect maybe not, you know, we don't have a crystal ball either, so we don't know what it will be, but we see it better than what we have been doing in the last 2-3 years.
Sure, that helps. Last question. If I look at your international business breakup, has been more or less somewhere around 50% plus minus 5%. Do you see that share changing in upcoming years, or this sort of a share is what one should continue to assume?
Data in export and domestic?
Yeah.
Yeah, we, I think we have been in this ballpark for a long time, so I think we stick to that because, and maybe, you know, with the new FTAs coming in and kicking in earnest next year. So maybe, you know, we see a much more bigger demand from India. So we are pretty flexible either way. Wherever we see the opportunity, we pivot.
That helps. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Saransh Gupta from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. So I had a few queries. So I just wanted to understand, like, if you can help us with how will the forward integration that we have just acquired through slump sale and a majority stake in dyed yarn and garments, like how will that pan us for how will that pan up for us going ahead?
So that is something. So of course we will be you know formalizing it very soon, and after that you know it's a slow thing. So we are acquiring these businesses, and we have some plans, but they are long term plans. So right now, for next 1 year, we just want to, you know, integrate, and we want to see where all we can help each other. And the bigger plans we will share when once, you know, we go through the integration, and maybe after 6 to 9 months.
So that would be great. Also, sir, going ahead, like, how do we see the business growing up? Like, we are adding around 40% of our current capacity in phase one, and then there is another phase that will come up. So we'll be at a good amount of capacity for spindles, and we are also forward integrating. So do we see a shift towards value added products going ahead, or like how will it be?
Yeah, see, the ultimate goal is that's why we are integrating these facilities. But right now, in next 12 to 18 months, it's this new capacity, the first phase which we are putting is of focus and integrating the existing, integrating these new two acquisitions, and then I will take it forward. So we are working in all the fronts, and we are looking at opportunities, how they present and how the dynamics shift. So, but now we are, you know, in all the segments, and we are constantly exploring how we can expand in each segment.
Okay. So I basically wanted to understand, like, from a 3 to 5 years perspective, like, how do we see the business growing ahead? Is it from the yarn segment, or there will be a good amount of contribution from the value-added products, if we call, like, fabric, or probably the Idean or garments?
See, that's what I told you. That's the plan. That's why we are integrating, because ultimately it is not to acquire these small these small companies. We want to do to scale it up. But again, this is something which is in our plans, but how it fructifies is how we see it performing in next 1 year or 18 months, and then we will go as we see how well they are being integrated with us.
So that's very helpful. Also, sir, if you can help us with the spreads, like how did they move, and like where are we right now?
How what moves? Sorry.
Cotton yarn spread.
Cotton yarn spread today is, I think, around more than $1 between the clean cost and the final yarn prices. So so they have for last couple of years they were at around 70 cents, 65 to 70 cents. So yes, they have improved significantly, and we have to. I think if it remains at $1 with the rupee depreciating, I think mills are happy.
Sure, all the best, and thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anil Sharma. Please go ahead.
Sir, good afternoon, sir, and congrats for the good set of numbers. Sir, my question is regarding inventory of the cotton. How much months inventory we are having? If you can share some guidelines on that. And number two, how we think that the, in the days to come, how the EU and other FTAs will be affecting foresee regarding the FTAs.
So EU and UK FTAs, of course, have been announced, and they are being debated in their respective parliaments. And we hope UK at least to be active in next 2 to 3 months. EU, which we hear from the government sources, might take another 6 months. So we expect both the FTAs to be effective from by the end of this financial year. And about our cotton coverage, we don't really disclose our numbers, but the thing is, like all good mills, we tend to cover our season's cotton by the end of March. So, and this is not something we do we do this every year, because you cannot secure quality cotton otherwise. So yes,
right.
I think that's
my bit. All right, congrats, and I hope for the long term future in the future of this industry, our industry is good, as we see.
Sorry,
I think the future, it means medium term future is good for our yarn and the ready-made apparel industry, textile industry.
Yeah, I think the long term future. I'm more excited about the long term future with all these FTAs and the competitiveness of Indian spinning and apparel industry going forward.
Right. Thank you, sir. Congrats.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Ahmed Mada from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. So two questions. Firstly, to your answering previous participant question on cotton, I didn't get, you gave some time frame. If you can repeat that, please, if possible. On your cotton coverage. On your cotton coverage, you are answering question to previous participant, and you give certain timeline of inventory. If you can extend that bit again, please.
So we generally don't, comment on our cotton coverage. The only thing I said was that, like all good companies, we tend to cover most of our cotton requirement for the year by the end of March. So that's about it. That's all I can say.
Sure, sure. And regarding your greenfield spindle capacity of 150K, in what time frame post commercialization it can achieve optimum utilization?
I think the day we start commissioning, it should take 6 months from there where we can, you know, fully, when we can expect 97-98% utilization. So it will come in phases, like that's how SPIRIC works. So from the day we commission, I think in 2 months we'll start getting the first kilo out of there. And with every month then we'll be getting incrementally 15-16% of production.
Sure. And what will be your thinking on overall industry supply per se? There have been a lot of commentary around saying the unorganized players have winded down and so on and so forth. How will you judge the industry supply per se? Because only few large companies are expanding capacity like you. So how will you judge overall Indian yarn competitive intensity and unorganized capacities?
I think we have been seeing this since last 3-4 years, since you know, the last boom after COVID, that you know, a lot of capacities in India, not only in India, across the world, have shut down because of different reasons, because of financial problems, because of being obsolete technology, not modernizing on time. So I think this process is you know, is still going on. So this, so we expect this, you know, this process to go on, and we expect more consolidations happening, and we expect, you know, the good companies which are, you know, run efficiently to keep on growing, and we expect, you know, the people and the companies with. Because there's a lot of you know, shift happening in technology with the, and anything which is older than 20 years is cannot survive in today's environment. So either you modernize or you shut down. Otherwise, it's very difficult to compete. So we expect you know, either you modernize or you shut down. That is the motto which is happening for last few years, because the margins, though right now we are well placed, but overall we don't see. The long-term margins are close to 15%, and with all this new old machinery, it's very difficult to sustain at those levels.
Sure. And for a first half, will it be fair to assume we do 15% plus margins based on your current visibility?
We don't give any guidance, but yeah, I'll be disappointed if we don't.
Sure. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pramod from SRA Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So I've got a few questions from my side. The first one was with regarding to the merger. So can you give us more color on the expected timeline for the completion of the acquisition, and give us some perspective on how Sports King India Limited margin is expected to grow in the after the acquisition?
So see, the impact on the immediate impact on the margins will not be a lot, because they are very small. You know, with our top line, we are expecting around, you know, 2700-2800 crores this financial year, the coming financial year. And these two companies will give us close to 200 crores in our top line. So we don't expect to, you know, really enhance our margins with these numbers. But yes, they are our roadmap for the future. They are our, you know, you can say as labs for our future expansions, which we need to do in you know, downstream. So we expect to close this within this quarter, in this calendar year at the most.
Got it. And is it fair to assume that the potential operational synergy, integration benefits, or cost efficiency can influence the margin going forward?
Yeah, of course. Definitely, the margins for these companies will definitely increase once the synergies are there. But as I said, you know, the overall because these are 7 to 8% of our total turnover. So the impact on the total company will not be so huge within this year. Maybe once we start scaling those businesses up, then things will change.
Got it, sir. It was clear picture. My next question was with regards to the overall industry. So just wanted to understand the overall textile industry and the yarn demand. So could you help us understand how the management views the demand cycle of yarn and including the key factors that can influence this fluctuation across the different phases of cycle?
So right now for last 3 months, we are seeing a continuous demand for almost all kinds of yarns. And we don't have a crystal ball, but the feeling as somebody who has been running these businesses for last 30 years is that we see it, some structural changes which have happened, which are helping this time around, like the consolidations which have happened. So the demand, a little bit of extra demand, just catapulted the spreads. So that means that we have a lot of underlying potential in this business. So any meaningful increase in demand can really, jack up the spreads. So I think personally, in India, after all these FTAs and all the talks which are going on, and we see a lot of potential. We see India as the hub, if we act right, as the hub for the garment manufacturing and fabric manufacturing going forward, with as a substitute for China, with stability and overall stable policies, stable power, stable everything. The interest rates are pretty moderate when we compare it to across our competitors. So we see a lot of potential. So it's just that the downstream has to now pull up their socks, which they are doing. I think there are a lot of capacities coming up in anticipation of these FTAs. And we see a good bright future for the whole chain going forward.
Got it, sir. That was really helpful. So that was all from my side. If I have any other question, I'll join back the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Bhavika Jain from Nevershare Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up opportunity. Basically, I just want one clarity on the capacity utilization. As in last call, management mentioned that they are all at full utilization, like at 95% utilization. So just want to achieve that till we are not coming up with the, like, because it will take 3 quarters. So how we are seeing our top line getting the top line growth going forward for 2 to 3 quarters? Is it the margins, is this just a spread which is going to reflect, or there will be a volume addition? Second, in this quarter, we did a 13% of EBITDA margin. Just want to understand that what led this margin, and are we expecting this to continue going forward?
Okay, so so your question was, first of all, about so we see that the yarn prices, which were at around $2.70, let's say in average for last quarter, maybe $2.80. So they have gone up now to anywhere close to $3.30. So we would see. Of course, as we sell, we always, when it's going up, we always as a company get it with a lag, because we have a policy of a long-term sales book. So we expect top line to increase by 7 to 10% in next 3 quarters because of the higher prices. Volume-wise, we don't see any increase in volume because we are already working at full capacity, whatever is optimum capacity, 95-96%. And any new capacity will only reflect maybe in the last quarter or in the third quarter, maybe a little bit, and a little bit more substantially in the, from fourth quarter and fully from the next next financial year. About the margins, we expect how these margins came about. The of course, better spreads. These margins could have been higher, but you know, we had some small provisions. So we expect the margins to expand meaningfully in next two to three quarters, looking at the spreads and our long sale book.
If you can give me the range in between we can expect the margins to be?
We don't, they shall be, you know, we are looking at, you know, quarter on quarter expanding by at least 15-20%.
Okay. Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Krunal Shah from Enam Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for giving me the opportunity. So first is on, is there any update, sir, from the government in terms of imported cotton and the duties on the same?
So that's the big thorn in the flesh. You know, though right now, you know, it doesn't mean a lot because Indian cotton is substantially cheaper than the international cotton. But of course, you know, for the long-term health of this industry, this is one fight which we have to win. And but right now, the communication is going on. We have been meeting different ministries periodically, and they all understand, you know, the rationale behind it. And we expect to see something coming up in next couple of months. So we are just waiting because with the government, you know, you cannot, it's a one-way communication. You can always tell them your problem, but they will tell us when they are ready for the solution.
Right, right. And what we were hearing is that, you know, in, even before the cotton price hike in March, CCI pricing was being calibrated in line with US cotton prices. Is this observation true, sir?
Yeah, you are right on that. That the CCI has been pretty efficient with the, you know, and they were very textile industry supportive in their pricing. But the problem lies in, you know, when they are buying. It's you know, when they sell, they're pretty good. But when they are buying, that time there's a problem. That is the time when there's a disconnect between the prices, international prices and Indian prices. That is from a period from October till, you know, February.
Got it, got it. So in terms of buying, how much would CCI be out of, you know, buying from India's total production of cotton?
So this year they have bought 106 lakh bales out of projected production of around 310. So it is almost 33-34%.
33%. So that they raise the price in the market and hence we also have to pay higher prices. That is the impact.
Exactly. So whatever, so the prices are pretty much, you know, close to MSP levels when the harvest comes. So the mills right. don't have an option but to buy from the market, whatever the prices might be. So that is when the problem comes.
Got it.
So right now, whatever the international prices are, so we will be much higher than the MSP. So right now it looks good, but, you know, these with international prices, you never know.
Right, right. Absolutely. Yeah. And sir, my second question on this was in this merger of group company that we are planning. I was just seeing the financials that you reported in the press release. So group companies have seen a decline in revenue over the two-year period from FY23 to FY25. What would be the reason for the same and what would be FY26 revenue numbers?
So we were, you know, in the process of, you know, modernizing and, you know, weeding out, you know, basically we were re-engineering those units. So they were like, one of them was shut down for 3-4 months because of that. And there were a lot of capacities which we were re-engineering. Yeah, there was a decline in the marginal decline in the total revenue. But we, going ahead, we see a healthy increase in revenue by at least 20%-25% from in this financial year.
So that you're talking about. Can you just share the FY 2026 revenue numbers for these companies?
26 number will be, I think, similar, will be flattish.
Okay. Okay. And 20%-25% from FY 2027 onwards, that's what the outlook is.
FY 2027 now, you know, we expect it, both the companies to grow by 15%-20% at least.
Okay, got it. And so that business which is into dyeing of fabrics, that is only dyeing and not manufacturing the fabric, right? Just clarifying for that.
So, we manufacture a lot of fabric in our one company, and it gets dyed in that company. So now they've both the processes. We manufacture fabric also, but only for in-house. So it is getting dyed in that company.
Okay, got it. Got it. Got it. Perfect. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anil Sharma. Please go ahead.
Sir, for the opportunity second time. So my question is regarding our renewable energy investment, that we, because as you said, we will be saving around 14 crore-15 crore this year. How much we can increase? What is the, any limit about that? Because it is very cheap going forward also, due to uncertainty. We are planning to invest more in this, some color on this renewable energy and how much it will save in the years to come.
So this is right now under Punjab policy, this is the most we can put under solar. So this is for this, for our existing capacities, this is the highest we can go to. So this is 40 MW, which will be giving us around 7 crore unit every year at a price of 3.70 rupees.
Right. For that, how much we will saving?
We'll be saving around, I think, 2 rupees, around about 15 crore a year. Yeah.
Okay, okay. And the next year also, this will be the same, I think. If we go for the expansion of the, our new capacity, when it is installed, then we may, I think it may be, we may can expand it. Is it so?
So that's in Odisha, we are anyway getting solar at a very
Okay.
lower price, so it won't be that beneficial to put a solar plant there. So we might put up a small one on our rooftop, but not a ground solar. I think we won't need to put that.
Okay, right. Thank you. Right. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash Mehta from SKP Capital. Please go ahead.
So thank you so much for the opportunity. So I've got a few questions. So firstly, the fourth quarter witnessed a noticeable improvement in profitability and margin performance. So kindly explain the key factors that contributed to this expansion. And it would be really helpful to understand the relative impact of elements such as better product mix, lower material costs, operating leverage, or any one-off benefits during the quarter.
So, as we have, you know, I've answered in my previous callers and in my initial speech, that it is the most important factor which has contributed and which is actually contributing. So demand has been robust the last two, three months, and it continues to be. So that is the single most important factor which has helped the margins to expand.
Okay, okay, got it. And additionally, how should we view the sustainability of these margins going ahead?
So we, as I told previously also, that we have a visibility for next two quarters, and then we, you know, see macro, you know, that the new FTA is coming in and our new capacity is coming in. So we are pretty sure that, you know, we can maintain these margins and maybe expand, you know, long term.
Okay, okay. And there was a Forex-related mark-to-market impact during the quarter, which affected the profitability also. So could you help me understand what's the company's hedging policy and whether forex volatility remains a material earning risk going forward?
So we don't we whatever we sell, we book the same day. So we don't keep any risk in our books. So it is just that, you know, when March 31st closed, the dollar closed at the highest level, all-time high levels. So anything which was, you know, yet to be shipped or yet to be received was marked to market. So that's why, you know, though, you know, it is a notional entry, but that is required to be made, and the impact will be reversed in this quarter if the rupee, you know, doesn't, you know, depreciate much more than this. But it all depends upon, it's a entry which is adjusted as per the last as the closing rate of dollar on last day of the quarter.
Okay, yeah, got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take that as the last question for the day, and I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you so much, everyone. And always good to have a connect with all of you, and see you in the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Sport King India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.